First, a note for the purists. I know I should use the word Chanukiah to describe our eight-branched candelabra, but I'm going to stick with menorah to describe the seven-branched menorah of the Beis HaMikdash and the Hanukkah Chanukiah for the sake of simplicity. 2 months after the birth of the modern state of Israel, the government formed the Emblem and Flag Committee to run a design competition for the new national symbols. There were approximately 150 entries. On February 10, 1949, they selected the now familiar emblem designed by two brothers, Gabriel and Maxim Shamir, a blue shield bearing a white design of a seven-branched menorah, flanked by two olive branches and bearing the word Yisrael. The blue and white color scheme is self-explanatory. The two olive branches come from this morning's Haftarah, in which two olive trees provide oil for the menorah. And the particular menorah design they chose carried its own symbolism. It's modeled on the menorah that appears on the Arch of Titus, showing the Romans carrying spoils from the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Some argued at the time that the emblem should actually be the menorah found in the Beis HaMikdash, which looked a bit different, but the symbolism of reversing our exile and returning to our land was powerful. This menorah became a symbol of our national rebirth. But celebrating Hanukkah with a menorah today, 2 months after the massacre, celebrating Hanukkah while each day Israeli families are receiving news of children, siblings, spouses, parents killed in battle in Gaza. Celebrating Hanukkah while the airwaves are full of stories of the savagery of Hamas. Celebrating Hanukkah while more than 100 Israelis are held hostage is very difficult. What rebirth is there when in our own country we can suffer the barbaric assault of Shmini Atzeres, the hostage-taking, the rocket attacks? How can there be room for a celebratory menorah this year? An answer may lie in the outcome of a classic debate between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. The core mitzvah of lighting the menorah requires just one candle each night, but we beautify the mitzvah with more candles, and Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai debate just how many candles we light. According to Beis Hillel, we light one candle on the first night and then increase by one each day, so that on the last night we light eight candles. According to Beis Shammai, we light eight candles on the first night and then reduce by one each day, so that on the last night we light one candle. The Gemara asks, why does Beis Hillel start low and then increase, and Beis Shammai start high and diminish? As part of the discussion, the Gemara offers the following explanation. Beis Hillel says to build up because we have a principle of Malin Bekodesh, that when we are dealing with sanctity, we always try to build and grow. Beis Shammai says to reduce, just as on Sukkot, we bring bowls as karbanos, and we start with 14 on day 1, then bring 13 on day 2, then 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7. So here we count down as well. I can understand Beis Hillel's position of ascending in holiness fairly easily. When we set up the weekly Lechem Hapanim, the showbread, in the Beis HaMikdash, we first put it on a stone table, before then putting it on the more valuable gold shulchan, where it stays for 1 week. After that week, when we remove it from the shulchan, we put it on another gold table, not back on the cheaper stone table, because we ascend in holiness and we don't descend. Another example, a mezuzah is considered holier than tefillin, because it applies 24 hours a day. Therefore, if tefillin wear out, we can use the scroll from inside as a mezuzah, but we can't use the scroll from a mezuzah for tefillin. The scroll can go up in holiness from tefillin to mezuzah, but not vice versa. Within Beis Hillel's thought, the Lechem Hapanim are holy, tefillin and mezuzah are holy, and our menorah is holy, a celebration of Hashem's wonderful miracles performed nearly 2,200 years ago. So we ascend, we grow, we add candles, and we never subtract. But how do we understand Beis Shammai? What is the link between the bowls brought as karbanos on Sukkot and the menorah of Hanukkah? It's true that Sukkot and Hanukkah are linked. The Aruch HaShulchan even suggested that the Jews observed 8 days for the original Hanukkah because the Greeks had prevented Sukkot earlier that year. We lost 8 days, we'll gain 8 days back. And there are actually many links between these two 8-day holidays, more than fits in a drasha. But what is the connection of the menorah to these bowls specifically, and the way they dwindle? A Gemara teaches that the bowls of Sukkot are meant to represent the nations of the world. Rashi takes that as positive, that our karbanos defend the nations of the world. But the Maharsha explained it as a negative. With these karbanos, we pray for the diminution and disappearance of our foes among the nations. Perhaps Beis Shammai sides with the Maharsha's view that the bull karbanos are about eliminating enemies. And perhaps Beis Shammai applies that thought to our menorah as a way of saying that the war of Hanukkah against our enemies is still active. From that perspective, lighting the menorah is not a memorial for a past victory. Rather, the menorah is a weapon in an ongoing war. It is part of that fight against the Greeks. They sought to turn us into a satellite of the Greek Empire, consumers of their culture. And Hashem gave us a victory, Rabim Biad Me'atim. But the fight continues. Every year in every Jewish home, the candles are our weapon in a battle to fend off the Greeks and preserve our identity. So we have two ways to view the menorah. Beis Hillel sees it as a holy commemoration of an ancient miracle. Beis Shammai sees it as a weapon in an ongoing war. On Chanukah 5784, Beis Shammai's view resonates with me. The war didn't end in the 160s BCE, it only subsided for a bit. The war for Jewish identity continued as the next generations of the Hashmonaim became Hellenized themselves, fought civil wars, and even brought in Roman allies to help them in their intramural battles. The war continued under Rome, during and after the fall of Yerushalayim. The war continued when Caliph Umar imposed the first Jewish badge, and during the Crusades, and so on. Today, the menorah does not feel like it commemorates history. The menorah is part of a fight in our living memory. But then why was Beis Hillel so positive? They lived under Rome. Didn't they know the war wasn't over? And why do we in 5784 go along with their optimistic ascending lighting? Why don't we channel Beis Shammai's war and light in descending order? How can we bear to add a light each night during our national crisis? Let the lighting of the menorah be a prayer for the decline of our enemies again. Perhaps Beis Hillel was teaching us a lesson that is all the more important in our day. It reminds me of what Professor Daniel Gordas wrote this week. There's something deeply wise about a tradition that is not interested in whether I'm in the mood or not. There's something profound about a tradition that obligates me to light candles in a time of darkness. Perhaps we are meant to learn to value what we received by Amim Haim Bazman Hazeh, to appreciate the victories in the darkness, such as they are, to appreciate that some of the hostages are back with their families, to appreciate the stories of small miracles, the tuna can that set off the explosives, the dove that landed on the tripwire, to appreciate that we have a state of Israel. We aren't the first Jews to ask how we can celebrate when there is so much to grieve, and we aren't the first Jews to be told to do it anyway. Just three sentences after the end of our Haftorah, Hashem addressed the Jews of Zechariah's day, the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, and challenged, "Mi baz liyom ktanos? Do you degrade the day of small things? Do you look at what you have achieved at the second Beis HaMikdash, at tens of thousands of Jews returning home, and think, yeah, but the first Beis HaMikdash had miracles. Yeah, but we are poor and dependent on the largesse of the Persian Empire. Yes, but hundreds of thousands of us remain behind in Babel. Do you degrade what you have achieved, the blessing you have received?" Beis Hillel's menorah and the menorah of the Shamir brothers present a powerful answer to those who degrade the day of small things. It's true. You're right, Beis Shammai. We have a long way to go. But we have also come very, very far. Our menorah need not be a weapon every day. But today, for 8 days, our menorah can be a celebration.